If you have a book like this, and if you have a going through the pages from Genesis all the way to Revelation, you will find a one word that is repeated over and over and over and over again. Stories after stories, and the word is there. Can you guess what that word is? An angel. There is references of angels everywhere in the Bible, all over the Bible, many different circumstances. So when we decide to talk about angels, it's because another angel came to talk to me. Yes, an angel came to talk to me. And an angel told me, why don't you talk about angels? So because it is close to Valentine's time, I decide this is the time for me to talk about angels. And what did the angels have anything to do with Valentine's? A little bit. So we'll see how we'll make the connection. So let's hope that our intent here, by the time we leave today, we'll be able to understand how privileged, how blessed we are. There is such thing as angels in our lives, right? It says, what are the angels? First of all, let's thank God for this Abba's Day. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Usually, I don't talk about family in public because it's not a good policy. But I would like to congratulate Tamara because she was accepted in Loma Linda. And so, like, congratulations. She's a little bit shy. She doesn't like us to say this in public. But she's connected to this church one way or the other. And we like to let her know that we pray for it, and the Lord answers prayers. Amen. And we wish you the best, and we hope that you not only be blessed by being in that area, but also become a blessing to those that you will meet in that area. And my son also, I'm biased, but my firstborn also is going to be moving to that area too. We are very happy to have them here with us. Sister Linda, nice to see you here. I don't mean to embarrass anybody, but I'm just happy to see her here. And everyone that comes to see us today and visit us, we like to welcome you to our church. Church, quickly, with all due reverence, look around and see somebody who is visiting us. Would you let that person know how blessed we are that they chose to be here today? Thank you. So the talk today, as a message, we decided to talk. When I was thinking about this, I said, well, we do have some angels in the church. We have Angel, Beton. We have Angelique. She is not here today. So we have another Angelica. So we do have some angels. Okay. See, there is two more. So you chose the right day to be here. Yes. Are anybody familiar with this picture? And during Christmas time, almost some channels, almost every single year, we see this on television. I'd like to introduce to you Clarence. Right, Clarence. Do you know who Clarence is? According to the movie, he's supposed to be an angel. But there's something missing. Look at him. There's something missing. He has no wings, right? So I test you. I know that you've been watching. And then the other one is George. What is interesting about this is because this has something in common with us. Sometimes things go very hard in our lives. And we wonder, is life worth anything? Some people get to a point that are so desperate that they wish that they would not be even alive. And that was the situation with George. Things got so difficult, that he decided that life was not worth living. And he came to that point. This is one of those ideas of, I don't call it Hollywood, I call it Follywood, okay? Because it's full of folly, okay, Follywood. So it is one of those concepts that comes from that area. But there is a message here that we all can learn from it. Of course, it's fictitious because angels do not have to work for their wings. Okay, that's not true. Okay, but his task was to make George realize that life is wonderful. Life is wonderful. Can you say that? Life is wonderful. Life is the greatest gift that any human being can ever receive. And we all hear about life. Not this life. This life is just a test. And there is only one question on this test. Do you want life? Basically, that's all the question. The whole exam, there's only one question. Everything we do, we are trying to answer that question. Is life really wonderful? Do I want more of it? Do I want eternal life? So I hope that you have that in mind as we continue. Now, have you seen pictures like this one? By the way, this looks beautiful, looks innocent, but actually this is pagan. How many of you here have been raised in a Catholic church? Some of you, right? I was raised in a Catholic church. In a Catholic church, when a child is born, and then according to them is baptized, because that's not baptism, but according to them is baptized, and the child dies, one thing that the church teaches is that if the child was supposedly received that kind of dedication they call baptism, the child becomes an angel. And that is the lie that they have created in order to comfort. You know, the purpose is good, but it's still a lie to comfort the parent that just lost their child. It says, now your child is going to be flying around everywhere. We're going to be on the cloud nine. It's going to be there, but it will be a little angel. That is one concept. Another concept is that if you study Greek mythology and Babylonian mythology, you see that they create those things in order to replace something to be worshipped. It is innocent, but it is pagan. Here's another pagan one. This time of the year, you find them stamped in chocolate boxes, sometimes in the cards that we give to our loved ones. You know, oh, would you be my Valentine? And you know what this little angel was created? This is an angel, a symbol of desire. And when I say desire, I talk about that kind of desire that is not really something that we should go around. You know, this is supposed to be the god, in Portuguese they call amor. Do you know what the word amor means? Right? That's what a cupid. Yeah, cupid. This is the son of Venus and Mars. That's the Greeks, that's what they create. Do you know why they create those things? Because they knew the truth and that they wanted to twisted just to make sure attractive to somebody, and that's what it is going. Next time you see this, you start sending cards, remember, you're sending just a little pagan figure to somebody else. Now, I found this picture, and one of them we created for because we want to say to you that in the Bible, the angels is the role of the angel is defined very clearly. Fascinating facts about angels. I found more than 50, but we don't have the time. Don't worry, we don't have the time to go over all of them. But so we chose few, just for us to, when we leave here, we'll have a little bit more idea about those ministers. And I put on the front of the bulletin, God's ministers, because that's what they are. God's ministers that God have created and have sent them to this earth to provide us the ability to live and to stand under the circumstances that we have been exposed to because of evil. Now, they were created by God. All right? They are not created by Greek mythology. They are not created by the Jewish people. They are not created by the Israelites. They were created by God. All right? So, here is the... I have to make sure that I don't push the button here too hard. They were created by God. This, the text says, for by him all things were created. How much?
All.
And that also include everything in heaven and everything on earth. Visible and invisible. Can you see the angels?
No.
I can see some. Hello, angels. I see some. You don't take compliments very well, do you? I just call you angels. And I mean good angels, not bad ones. Good angels. Hello, angels. Oh, I was expecting a very... Hello, angels.
Hello.
Get used to it. Whether thrones or dominions or powers... All things were created by God, and through him, for him. Now, remember here it says, for him. I'm not trying to be critical of any other denomination, but I do need, for teaching purpose, I need to mention that it also was brought in a Catholic church, and over there they also call Mary the Queen of Angels. Have you heard that before? Those of you that are... Oh, yes. And many times when they show her picture, they show a lot of little angels right by her feet. Okay? So she's called the Queen of Angels. The Bible says clearly, the angels are only under God's command and no other. The angels cannot be commanded by us or by anybody else, by their Creator. It was made through him, for him. Every single angel, except those that rebelled, are for him, through him, by him, and nobody else. So if anybody tells you that so-and-so is a queen of angels, that is not biblical. Okay? So don't go there. Again, second, they do not procreate. In other words, you're never going to find in heaven a baby angel. You're never going to find in heaven somebody being 6 months waiting for an angel. Or seven or nine. They do not procreate. They were all created at the same time by God. God created them with a purpose to be ministers in his entire dominion. Okay? For in the resurrection, they neither marry or are given to marriage, talking about the saved people. Okay? But then it says this, but they are like the angels in heaven. What it means is that the angels also don't marry or give themselves in marriage. So they do not procreate. They are not. I notice that many times you see pictures, an angel has a feminine looks like a female. Sometimes you see like a he angel, she angel. There is no such thing. They are angels. They are not male or female. They are just angels. Sometimes we picture them as male and female for our understanding. But according to the Bible, according to the words of Jesus Christ, they are not a male or female. They are just angels. Next, they were created to be eternal. Every single thing that God creates, He creates to be eternal. God never created anything just to be around for a little bit, for a while. Everything that God created is to be eternal. And that includes you and me and the angels. It says here, nor can they die anymore. For they are equal to the angels. Now, the first day of theirs talk about you and I when we are saved. It says we will not die anymore. Just like the angels. They don't die. Except those one third that rebel against God. Those are doomed. They will die. Because they abandon God, which is the source of life. Being sons of the resurrection. This is also Luke chapter 20, verse 36, New King James. The next fact about, they take interest in our daily life. And I think this is the part that we can relate more with the angels, is the fact that they are complete interest in our affairs because God has sent them to do so. So here's the one picture. I was brought up looking at this picture all the time. I have seen this so many times in my life. And when I saw this, I was also taught in a Roman Catholic church to pray for my guardian angel. And I have heard inside of our church, not maybe this church here, but I'm not going to give you more details than this, somebody, Seventh-day Adventist, who asked me, Pastor, is it okay for us to pray for our guardian angel? Have you ever had that question in your mind? Going to your mind, should we talk to our guardian angel? What a quiet church. Should we talk to our guardian angel? Yes or no?
Yes.
No. I'm sorry I set you up, but no, we cannot talk to our guardian angel. We should not pray for our guardian angel. Our guardian angel does not need our attention. God does. All attention that we have has to be always to God. All glory to God. All prayer requests to God. All gratitude to God. All that you have belongs to God and to no one else. I know that you mean well, but that one will get you in trouble. Do not pray to your guardian angel. Do not talk to your guardian angel. Talk to the one who is his boss. Talk to the God himself. And when you want to, and please be grateful. Say, Lord, thanks so much for sending your ministers, your angels in my life. I'm very grateful for the service, Lord, that you provide to me. But address the Lord and the Lord only. The commandment says, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. First commandment. Second says, you should not make any image of any creature or anything else. So do not address your guardian angel. Talk to God, the one who sends, the one who provides you this wonderful individual right by you to watch over you. By the way, about the guardian angel. Do you know when the guardian angel was assigned? Because there is, each one of you have a different angel. My angel is mine. Don't covet my angel because that's mine. You have your own, okay? Each one of us have our guardian angel. That guardian angel, do you know when that was assigned to us? The moment that you and I were conceived, not in the womb of my mother or your mother, but in the mind of the Creator. The moment that you were conceived on God's mind, God assigned somebody to take care of you that will come maybe 1,000 years from now, maybe 100 years from now. When you were conceived in His mind, in the mind of the Creator, He assigned, because Psalms 139 says, all your days, everything was numbered. I know all the details. And that is why I know for with absolute certainty that God has assigned your guardian angel then. But the guardian angel, besides being with you and watch over you your entire life, there will be one day when that angel will finally manifest himself to you. Okay? We will get to that text. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. Which little one is talking about? That little one? That little one? Which little one? This little one has two applications. It has the application of a child that is innocent, and also has application of a humble people. See, people that are so simple that sometimes we don't treat them with the proper respect. Just because they don't have a doctorate degree, because they don't have they don't dress well, and sometimes probably they don't shower that much, or because sometimes they don't take good care of themselves, sometimes because they have never gone to school, they are so simple, and we have the tendency sometimes not to look in their direction. Sometimes we have a tendency to avoid, we don't represent Christ that very well when we do those things, but we do have the tendency to do those things sometimes. And sadly, you need to think about this text. Next time somebody that is not so attractive for some reason approaches you and try to get your attention, because they deserve you and they need your attention also. If there is one thing that we all here have in common, all of us, I know that some people behave like they are not one of us. But all of us here have one thing in common. We all need to be loved. We need food. We need air to breathe. But there is one thing that we need. We need to be loved. We come to church because we need to be loved. We want to belong. We want to be relevant. And sometimes a child may misbehave just because they are deprived of attention. And so they are so desperate for attention, they will do even something bad. If they feel like, if I do something bad, I'll get attention. So they go and do something bad. So please, be careful. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you, that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father. They are daily visiting our Heavenly Father, taking reports. And you know what those reports, remember last week we talked about those books, a book of iniquity, when all the bad things we do is rushed there, all the book of remembrance, when all the good deeds go there too, and then the book of life. Remember, we talked about this last week. Matthew 18, verse 10. Next. I saw this. The first time I see this picture, I think this picture can be touching to all of us. All of us needs to sit by Jesus and be willing to understand that He accepts us the way we are, but He gives us a chance to change, right? It says, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one single person who repents. I was giving a Bible study to a group, and I told them, I want to invite you for a special party today. And they look at me and say, "What do you mean?" He says, "We are going to put this party together. But in order for this party to go on, somebody needs to repent." That's a kind of awkward way to invite somebody to a party, right? He says, "We're going to have a party, but in order for the party to go on, somebody has to repent." And then I read this text. and said, there is a party in heaven. All your guardian angels just go flying fast to heaven. Says, Lord, we got one more. One more. He repented. He's one of us. And that's what you can always have celebration in heaven. All you have to do is to surrender your heart to Christ. And then there will be a party in heaven on your name. Keep on leaving each other. Please, church, pay close attention to this text. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained what? So they do take human form, right? They do come and visit us. Sometimes they come to our house. Whoops. If he comes to my house, if he comes to your house, would he be able, or they will be able to eat what you eat? If they come to your house, would they be able to be there based on what you watch and how you talk? Do you think those angels, I know some kind of angels that will go there if you're doing something bad, but not those kind of angels. We talk about the good ones. So please, brothers and sisters, keep loving each other. And remember that sometimes we are receiving angels in our homes and we don't even know. We don't even know. That's why our homes should be a sanctuary every day, 7 days a week. We are 7 days Adventist, not 7 day. We're supposed to be 7 days Adventist. They are witness in God's court. When there is a court in heaven, the angels is going to stand in that court. And when you present yourself, they will be witness because they are the one who reports everything we do in this life. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me, that's me is Jesus, before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. What Jesus Christ is saying here is that if you accept me and you love me, when there is a court, I will stand there before the angels and before all creation, and I will testify about you. Luke 12, verse 8 and verse 9. Verse 9 says this. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. If you do not live a life that represents God well, that in judgment, that will be brought up again. Next, they are ministers in God's creation. One text that I would like to mention to you that you're familiar. It says, and I fell at his feet to worship him. Remember we said we don't talk to angels, we do not worship them. Here is one text that tells us clearly that somebody tried to do. He says, but he said to me here is to John. John, the beloved disciple of Jesus. He was now a much older individual. He was supposed to know those things. But caught up in the moment to see this angel with all his glory, he did the typical thing that we immediately, he fell on his knees. And the angel says, see that you do not do that. Don't do this. I am your fellow, what? The word servant here is also minister. I am a minister. I'm here to serve. I said that to one of my members here in Vista. I was over there in a Better Living Center, picking up, going to every table, pick up the trash. And this very wonderful, nice person, one of the nicest person that we have in this church, I cannot tell his name because we want to all for you to believe, oh, that's me. So this very nice person came to me and said, Pastor, this is not for you. Let somebody else do this. I told that person, I'm a minister. I have to serve, and the best service that I can give my members is to teach them how to serve too. The angels are servants. We all servants. Everyone who is created by God is created to serve, not to be served. We all are created to be servants. Even those that are falling, even those that are taking a little nap, I hope you hear this. We all are created to be servants. And your brethren, who are, and it says, servant to you and to you, your brothers and sisters, okay? And then it says, worship God. Do not worship anybody else. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 4, when the angel appeared to Jesus and told Jesus that in the conclusion of the temptation, says, if you bow down, you worship me, I'll give you everything. And Jesus answered this, it is written, worship God alone, nobody else. He says, away from me, Satan. So we only can worship God and nobody else. Mark this in your Bible, because if you talk to people from all the denominations, you may need to know where this text is. This is Revelation 19, verse 10. I use for this text the New King James Version. Again, Revelation 19, verse 10. Okay, mark this in your Bible. It's a good tool for Bible study. Therefore, angels are only servants. And I hope you put this one right after the other one, because it says, therefore, angels are only servants. Is spirit sent to care for people who will inherit salvation? So it's talking about you, right? Is this talking about you? I believe so. It's talking about me. It says, people that are seeking to be saved. So therefore, the angels are ministers. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, New Living Translation is what I use for this one. Next, it says this. This is another text that you should have also. This one from Paul. Paul wrote this, and I believe you should mark this also in your scriptures. Do not let anyone disqualify you by making you humiliate yourselves. And do you think it needs to be any clearer than that? Mark this in your Bibles and put a cross-reference with Revelation 19:10. It says, do not let anybody disqualify you by making you humiliate yourself and worship angels. Such people enter into visions which fill them with foolish pride because of their human way of thinking. Colossians 2, verse 18. This version is New Century Version. That's the version that I use. New Century Version that says exactly the way it is stipulated there. I thought this was as clear as any way it can be. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways, no matter what path you choose to follow. If it's a good path, the angels will be there. If it is a bad path, the angels will try to help you to go a different direction. Psalms 91, verse 11. The angels of the Lord encamps. I like this text very much. Every time we have a prayer here, we ask people to make a circle. Every time I ask people to do that, I'm thinking about this text. It says the angel. Notice that it doesn't say the angels. It says the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. He stretches his arm and he embraces us. And don't worry, he is big. He can embrace no matter how many of us are together. He still can embrace all of us at the same time. It says, around those who fear God. And he does delivers them from any circumstances that can be dangerous to them. Psalms 37, verse 7. Now, behold, I send you an angel before you. to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Now, it looks like the text and the image doesn't go together. It does. When God was speaking this, we're speaking to Israel as Israel was traveling to the desert. But I decide to make application for today. Now, look at the words and imagine that he's talking to you about the journey that you are engaged to get into the kingdom, to the promised land. Now imagine that this, because when the Bible talks about before I send you an angel, that angel, notice that a New King James have capitalized the word angel. Other versions did not. But a New King James decided to capitalize angel. So angel here no longer is became an adjective. It's been used as a noun, as a name. Why? It's very proper that the King James did this in this case. Why? Because angel here is in a reference to Jesus Christ himself. Because it was Jesus who is leading us into the promised land. That's why the picture, that's why he is leading us in the promised land is right behind him waiting for you. And he said in John 14, verse 1, 2, and 3, remember, I'm going to prepare a place. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. I'm going to prepare a place. And he says there, I have prepared. A place which I have prepared. And that's exactly what our Lord is doing right now, preparing a place for us, and that is the promised land. Next, they are protectors of God's possessions. Do you belong to God? Sometimes we act like we don't. Right? We are family. We are entitled to talk very open with each other. Sometimes we messed up. We behave like we don't have no business in dealing with God. And that is sad. That's not a laughing matter, but it happens. But we can never forget. Don't let the evil one ever convince you that just because you did something bad, that God walked away from you. You have the ability to walk away from God, but God does not have the ability to walk away from you. He can't. He is stuck with you until the day when you die, but God will be with you all the way. And that's what I need you to understand, because that is exactly what the Bible teaches us. God will never abandon us no matter what the circumstance. There's nothing bad that I can do that God will abandon me, walk away from me, because God is a gracious God. But his forgiveness is not a license for us to continue in sin. So don't get confused. And it says, and there broke out war in heaven. Sometimes people get very discouraged because sometimes there are members that don't get along with each other. Have you been in a circumstance where it says, oh, that church, it broke apart because there are so many fights inside of that church? Have you heard that before?
Yeah.
Thank God we don't say those things about Vista. But there are churches, they are constantly conflict inside the church. There are pastors that their board meetings are difficult. Not here. But it happens. Why? Because we're dealing with humans. But next time somebody comes to you and try to criticize any church, not only Vista or any church, and try to tell you, because that, by the way, this is a psychological game that people play. They try to put the church down so that when they leave, they have a reason to leave because they are better than the church. Don't be fooled. When somebody starts talking about the church, bad about the church, it's because they already left the church. There are people who come to church and they are not in church. Yes, I have been around for a little bit. I know. There are people who come to church not to find Christ, but to hide from Christ. They come to church because they want to be saved by their work. And by being church, they think that they are doing something for God. If you come to church because you are afraid of hell, church is going to be a hell for you. You're going to be, oh boy, when do I get home? When do I get out of here? Why do I have... You need to come to church because church is the best place in this life right now before Christ comes. There's no place that you should feel better than in church. Amen. And it says Michael and his angels fought the dragon. Who is the dragon? The angel. The prince of darkness. The destroyer. Your enemy. My uncle. I spent a few years in his home. My first few years, 7 years, before I went to orphanage. And he used to be a Seventh-day Adventist. My aunt used to be a Catholic. And they always have a conflict. Always war. Every time. And they use religion as an excuse. Now, they were a fight. Now that I'm older, I know they were a fight about something else. Religion was just a punchline. But it has nothing to do with religion. But they have this fight all the time. And one day I heard my uncle saying, and it stayed in my mind. He says, be careful that the devil is not as ugly as the people paint him to be. You know, they paint all him always with a tail, with the horns. He has no tail. He has a lot to tell. But he has no tail. He has no horns. He has no fork. Angels don't eat. We use fork to eat. Okay, so they have no fork, any kind of fork. He says, Michael. Michael, Seventh-day Adventists believe, it's a biblical belief, that Michael is actually Jesus. And he's called the archangel. The word archangel doesn't mean an angel that is higher. It means somebody above the angels. That's what it means, okay? And the dragon and his angels fought. What happens when when darkness fight with light? Darkness always lose because all the light has to do is just to exist. And darkness are gone. And so they were gone. They were gone and they came here and they started their work. We made up this picture with two or three different pictures. But do you know what you see here? I see myself. And I see lions around me all the time. They come. But you know what happens to the lions? They become just a little pussycats. Because my angel stands by me. Because my creator knows that I'm his. So young people, no matter how difficult the circumstance that you have to go through in life, remember, God has assigned an angel to watch over you. Don't fear the beasts. And don't become a beast yourself, because the problem with the beast is that when they surround us, sometimes we turn into a beast also. Don't act like a beast. Don't give the beast a reason to be around you. Remember, you are a child of God. Act like one in every circumstance, and God will deliver you every single time. Amen. My God sent his angel, not angels, but his angel, and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me at all. Do you notice that he says, send his angel? This angel here is the same one who later on walked inside the furnace with the other three boys. He didn't send his angels. He sent his angel. The angel here could easily be capitalized because this is Jesus himself came to watch over his beloved Daniel. He says, because I was found innocent before him. Before him. Who is him? the Almighty, the angel that came. And also, O King, I have done nothing wrong before you. I have nothing done anything against humans or against my God. I don't deserve, and therefore God, my judge, because Daniel means God is my judge. Okay? So my judge sent his angel to watch over me, and I'm safe. Daniel 6, verse 22. We're almost done. The last day's messengers. Who are they? Who are the last day's messengers? Oh, finally I heard who said? Sister Helene said? We are. Is talking. I did this on purpose. I didn't put the three there, but even though you see three, so you were led to think about the three. But the three, God has called us as a movement of the last days. We are called to be angels. Do you know what the word angel means, right? The one who delivers the message. The one who cares for the world. We are the light of this world. Without us here, this world will be already destroyed. God is having compassion upon this world because still there is time for opportunity for us to preach the gospel. As my sister Cheryl was telling the children, we need to go and talk about the master that we have. Because when we talk about the master we have, the message becomes real to us. We are the ones who gain the most. When you open your mouth and tell somebody that Jesus is great, Jesus becomes even greater to you. But if you keep silent, look what Ezekiel 33 says about the watchmen. Watchmen, if I tell you that you should go and speak, and you don't, and the destruction comes, and the destroyer comes and take one, two, or many, I will require from your hands their blood. Don't go and preach because you feel guilty about, but preach because if God has taught you compassion, by having compassion on you, share that compassion with somebody else. When you come to that day, make sure that says, Lord, I have been your angel. And by the way, heaven is a place for angels. If you want to be in heaven, you better start growing your wings. We're going to fly high, very soon. Yes, he's coming for us. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. How many? Have you ever thought to think about this all here, what this all means? Your guardian angel is coming. The one who has been always with you, he's coming because he and nobody else, no other angel, will be the one who stands before you the moment that you're going to be transformed. Well, I'm so anxious to get all my hair back. We're going to all be transformed. Just like that. Perfection. Just the way God intended. Just the way He imagined me to be. He never imagined me to be like this. The way He imagined me, that's exactly the way I'm anxious to be myself. And the angel, my guardian angel, it will be the first one, the first angel of light that I'll be able to see. And then I'll look up and we'll see all. And by the way, all the angels that are coming, they're going to surround the entire earth. There will be not a single spot left. And they will not even be able to put their entire body. They have to put just their face because there will be no space for all of them because the earth is actually small. And there will be angels all around. That's why the Bible says there is not going to be one single place that will be dark because every angel is a light. So the whole earth from space will be almost look like the sun itself. There will be how bright it will be because all the angels are going to be around the entire earth. Now, if it were not because of God's command, all the dead will come out of the grave. With all that energy, all that power, all the dead will come out. The only reason the dead will not come out is because God will keep them there because they cannot come out. It's like saying, you have a chance to belong to me, but you chose not to, so I have to respect you remain there. I just came to pick up mine. And I hope that day your name will be called. Then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Matthew 25, verse 31. Do you see this picture? Can you see from the back there? Can you understand what this picture is all about? This was painted by a Seventh-day Adventist artist. All the angels came and the people come out of the grave. All of us will be lifted up that day. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet to wake up the sleep. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds of the earth. From every corner there will be somebody. From one end to the other end, everyone. Matthew 24, verse 31. And we conclude with this. In the Bible, there is a story that always caught my attention. I always like this story. You have heard the name Elisha. Not Elijah, but Elisha, right? Elijah is the one who was taken to heaven. Elisha was his disciple that became a great prophet. He was visiting this city. And then the enemies, thousands and thousands of them, surrounded the city. That in those days represented, we are doomed. First, they're going to starve us to death inside of the walls until we surrender. And if we surrender, they're going to cut us into pieces, our families, everything else, and they will save some to be slaves. They will take to be slaves. Therefore, no good will come out of this. But there inside of that city was Elisha and his helper, a young man. Okay, this time I want you to kick the young man that is taking a nap. Kick them. I want them to hear this part. We're almost done, so wake up, everybody. Okay? This is, I don't know if you noticed, but every sermon I try to put something for the children. I try to bring something for the young people because we need to speak to all of you. All right? All of you. So this is the portion that I put on the screen for just for you young people. So here is the Elisha, this powerful man, and here is this young man. And everything looks terrible. It looks like the end. And it's very easy for people when they see disaster coming, for them to be alarmed and to be acting in despair. So he says, men of God, whew, what is going to happen to us? Well, oh, and Elisha could see him trembling with fear, overwhelmed with fear. So this is what took place. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. As your pastor, as your servant, I say to you, young people, there will be many circumstances in your life that you will feel a little bit despair. Life is worth living. It is a wonderful life. Amen. Don't think like George. Don't even let to anything to come to your mind. There will be circumstances that you will be saying, what do I do? Maybe the classes will be overwhelming. Maybe there will be pressure at home. Maybe you lose a job. Maybe there is illness. There will be a lot of circumstances. And because you may not have the foundation, a spiritual foundation in your life, you may be driven to despair. And I know that some young people, they deal with those little things inside of them. They don't talk about them. And by the time we parents find out, it's too late. And by the way, those things do happen to religious people too. Don't assume just because you bring your kid to church that everything is fine. Keep close watch to your young people because they are afflicted. This day and age, they are exposed to many, many different suggestions that may tempt them to do something that is wrong. So my prayer for you young people, I pray that the Lord open your eyes so you may see. May see what? May see that those that are for you are much greater than those that are against you. When he opened his eyes, then he saw all in everything was surrendered. He has so many millions of soldiers that were there, 10 times more than the enemies. And you can read the rest of the story in 2 Kings, okay? But I want to tell you one thing. Use texts like this to motivate you to develop a faith that when things come in your life, all you have to do is say, Lord, send your angels in my life because I need to see. Open my eyes. I'll say this, Lord, open the eyes of the angels of Vista so that they may know that they are messengers. They are here for a purpose to leave very clear, to leave a message, to carry the message to those that are not in church today. Amen. If you look beside you, if there is somebody missing that you know, be an angel. Make a phone call. Be an angel. Make an invitation. Be an angel. Be protective. Be an angel. Care for your brothers and sisters. It's when we love each other that we act like angels. It's when we ask for forgiveness that we act like angels. When we live under God's grace, that's when we are acting like angels. When we forgive, we act like angels. When we lift each other up, we like angels. So angels, please be good angels. God bless. Let's march to Zion all together like angels.